It's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Gorgeous Thursday afternoon in the city of New Orleans. It's going to be a nice relaxing Thursday, John Forcade, where we're going to kind of talk about a handful of NFL topics, check in on the Pelicans. They're at practice right now in Philadelphia. We'll play tomorrow against the 76ers. Take a look at some of the games that happened last night. Did they get any help in the standings? All of those different aspects of it. Getting closer to legal tampering on Monday. Free agency, the new league year starts on Wednesday. It's exciting. It's exciting. What can the Saints do? There's a couple of position groups, John, that look to be being flooded right now as teams across the NFL, as we get closer to Wednesday, are slashing players. Poor Professor. The Bills cut five starters yesterday. The Broncos are making some moves.
No, they have to.
Could that affect the Saints? There are a couple of Saints reporters, Ross Jackson in particular, suggesting some things. Tyrann Mathieu, a Saints safety, has spoken out on maybe a hint. I don't know. We're going to get into that here. Oh, by the way, speaking of a Saints, or should I say former Saints player, perhaps, he's got a little time on his hands, I guess, apparently, this morning.
Well, is it official yet?
There's a report from Jeff Duncan. He didn't care for that report
right.
Per Jeff Duncan. And let's just say he's having the time of his life on Twitter right now.
Well, when you got a little bit of time on your hands, I guess
time.
You can sit.
Got a little time in your hands.
Got a little time on your hands. Not running any routes right now.
So coming up, I will do a dramatic reading of Michael Thomas's tweets.
Okay, you're gonna put the little thing over the.
Well, no, I'm just gonna I'm gonna try to
like Merry Christmas.
No, like when I say dramatic reading, I'm gonna try to put myself in that situation and just,
read
it like he's texting.
Okay, I got it.
You know what I'm saying? Like he would say it.
Correct.
Perhaps. I don't know. It is Thursday, which means we are at our crew of Katie's in Katie's over in Mid-City, over in Iberville. Chef Scotty, shockingly, has not shown up.
He said he'd be here 45 minutes.
Is he ever on time, by the way?
No, he is.
He's never on time.
Whenever he says I'm in 20 minutes,
never on
about
time.
45.
You would think the one day of the week where he has his own show.
I wonder
with
what
us
excuse
tonight.
He's got today. Is he fixing a flat tire, or he's in a meeting?
Look, it's hard being that
he's
that
closing
popular.
The deal next door for the house.
Well, he's a very popular man. He's a very big man. What else does he do?
When you say big man, you mean like. Big in
stature.
Not the other way.
Big in terms of people know him in the city.
Correct.
I mean, I understand. I mean, imagine, John. Well, you probably would know, being a former NFL quarterback. I mean, you can't go to the grocery store. You can't just walk the dog down the street without people wanting to chat with you and all those things. I mean, that's, it's probably a hard life. It really honestly is,
I know. It's a rough life. Yeah. I wouldn't know how that feels anymore. That's beyond me.
Still do. I mean, people still walk in here and be like,
Well, they have to be.
And then they snap their fingers a couple times.
Yeah, they'll
and,
be what's, definitely over 50.
Billy Joe, and then we say no. And then Steve Walt. No, not Steve Walt. They'll eventually get to you.
Clint Eastwood.
They eventually get to John Ford.
They'll get to that as they're walking out the door.
Right. They get in the car and be like, that's 4K. That's who that is. No. Come by, have a little lunch with us, as always. We love, this is what we do. We pick on each other and have a lot of fun because there is a lot of love. And I mean that legitimately. I look forward to our Thursdays. I look forward to our conversations. I have no guests on Thursdays because I do enjoy that, because at some point we're probably going to argue.
There's no arguing in radio.
We're going to discuss some things. At some point, Chef Scotty.
It's always good
something.
To know that I'm right majority of the time.
And I'm looking forward to Chef Scotty showing up because Blue Crew Media yesterday posted something that I thought would be fun to do since we are at a restaurant. Pick a food from three rows, three different food groups, a dessert, kind of, I guess, of a side, and
a question for you before we get started.
Something to eat.
You brought up the food group thing.
Yeah.
Maybe Scotty can help me in this. I had a health guy come to the store and give us some to do's and not to do's, and they were a little strict about it, whatever. But the point I'm trying to get is this. They did it when we weren't there. They took it to the young kid that works there. He kind of relayed the message to us, and So he said that we can't have fruit in my refrigerator. And I'm like, what? We put fruits in the drink stuff. And he's like, no, y'all said it was just water and tea. Well, we do mix drinks and we. So is fruit categorized as a food? Because he said you can't have food. So he classified my strawberries and my bananas and anything like I have in my freezer as food. Would you classify fruit as food? You know what I'm saying?
Fruit? Yeah, I mean, like, as
you
a
know,
food?
Like, when they say, you can't eat meat on Friday. Well, you can't eat chicken. To
right.
me, it's kind of meat, but that's chicken.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
You know, so I'm trying to say, in the food category of food.
Yeah. Like, if you say I'm fasting and you eat some fruit,
is
that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, I think fruit is food, yeah.
You do? Okay. Yeah. I mean.
Because you can have that, like, for lunch. Like, I can have, like,
okay.
an orange or, like,
I was not
fruit
sure
salad. If, like, if you had a fruit salad that had, like, strawberries and blueberries and pears and melons and stuff like that, I mean, that is food you're eating.
Right. It's okay. I didn't, but it's, like, I'm not putting, like.
It's a smoothie of food.
Well, that's
liquid
another thing.
Food.
It's liquid food.
Yeah,
but
you know, people that I put together.
But I make it in a blender, and it was just, I mean, they've gotten so strict at things right now. Like, what? They came in there, like, pouncing on their chest. I'm like, wait a second. We've been here a year or so, and nobody said a word about it. The guy who was here before told us, oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And then he wanted me to drain my ice bucket, telling me I had to go all the way to the sink. Now, who puts a holes in his ice bucket, drain it all the way to the sink. My ice chest is on the other side of the room from where the sink's at. You know, it's just on the other side of the bar, should I say. Anyway, I need to get it off my chest.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to battle that with the health department. New Orleans. And Scotty, once again, that's why I hate parts of New Orleans. I said it. Said it on radio.
You know
yes.
what? We'll just come up with a whole new segment.
And they need to verify when Raphael and them say, hey,
yeah.
Gus, you in 4K. Talk about the West Bank.
Get off my lawn segment here.
The West Bank. They go, I said, wait a minute. Algiers is not classified as the West Bank. It is New Orleans.
Very interested. They have a playlist called Angry Man Yelling on Get Off My Lawn.
Got it?
We're going to do that. Every Thursday, I'll give you a few minutes.
2 minutes. Yeah, just get it all
what
out.
What makes you unhappy today?
I know.
Yeah.
I've been working doubles all week. That's brutal.
Got the Angry Birds theme. I mean, I... I don't know. You want?
Yeah,
let's see if this works.
Let's see.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
There you go, John. What upsets you this week, sir?
We'll get to that. Well, mostly just the health department of the city of New Orleans. Back off, Jack. Come see me. Don't see the kids that work there. Come see me.
Coming up next week, John will tell you what else is bothering him on his mind.
Well, they might have somebody at the health department looking for a job.
I really like this theme music. I really do. Seriously. I think we should just go ahead and air it out.
That's in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, let it out, man.
Air it out.
Air it out.
I know somebody else who wants to air it out. You know, we'll get to him a little later.
Do we need some music for him?
Ooh, I can't wait to see what kind of music you'll play for that.
I don't know. Give me some music to read Michael Thomas's history. Here's the thing. I don't want him tweeting about me. He's some peeps.
Well, man up, man. Don't be scared of Michael Thomas.
We'll get into that here as well. We'll have some fun. 800-998-1003 about what's going on. And, of course, it will be our lead. Buddy will take your phone calls over in the LaRose Studios. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. 1926 over there on Airline Drive. Looking forward to talk to Susan from our sales department. We're going to be heading over there and doing a remote very shortly. Looking forward to that. Now, John, there is a pool in the parking lot there at No Wake Outfitters. I'm assuming that that's where maybe you can try a paddleboard.
Oh, you want to try that? Really think you can do it?
I just want to see you get on a paddleboard. Yes.
Dude, you ever see
this? It's a circular pool. Can you make it from one end to the other without falling?
No.
I mean, I'm not laughing. I don't think I could. That's what I'm saying.
You think a whale could do it?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's.
I mean, a whale is a fish.
Right.
Or a mammal. Right, because he breathes air.
But he's got a balance.
Right.
I'm balancing. Not with these knees, baby.
Well, I mean, you need to go do Elvin Kamara's, you know, exercises where he's on that balancing thing.
Yeah,
and he has
right.
One leg and he's catching,
right.
you
does
know, bowling
he, does,
pins.
Does he have 31 surgeries and 2 knee replacements in the back? And I can go on and on and on and on.
But look, I will say this. You've stayed at 31 for a while now. That's good, right?
It is, but that 32 is lurking right around the corner. It's another major back surgery.
It is lurking.
But look, that is amazing how people love to do that. Tanya likes it.
Paddleboarding?
Yeah, she likes that.
Well, it is the place over there on Airline, so looking forward to doing that here as well.
You said there's a pool in the parking lot.
In the back part of the building, right? It's where you park.
Right.
And I see a circular pool, like you would have in your backyard.
Well, I thought it was like a lot of rain, and they call it a pool.
No, it's a pool. It's like a legit pool. So I'm assuming you would do that for a reason, and that would be to, have that and do that. So there you go. That looks delicious. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Liz.
Thanks, Liz.
That is delicious.
Liz, could I get a
please?
Since you dogging me about my Coke.
What do we have here? Coke? We have a shrimp po' boy.
I want another Coke.
I dogged you, but you come yes.
Look, I'm thirsty.
I love this.
It's not sweet tea.
So we got the shrimp po' boy.
Shrimp po' boy here.
Now, you
went
no tomatoes.
I don't like tomatoes.
You don't like tomatoes?
But I eat ketchup, but I don't like tomatoes.
Okay.
I know people say it's weird, but I just don't like the look. Like when you cut a tomato and it just, them seeds.
You don't like the look.
The look of a tomato. When you cut into it and people bite into it, and that's nasty. That's just.
You know you're a special man, right?
I am. Go see the special.
Your last name is 4K. You live on the West Bank.
And
you're from the West Bank. You don't like crawfish.
I do not like crawfish.
And you literally don't like a tomato.
I don't like tomato.
Because of how it looks.
And how
you cut it.
When you get, what do you like about the, there's no, just squeeze and make me some ketchup.
I mean, to each his own. Teach his own. Teach his own. I eat tomatoes like apples.
Oh, you kidding me?
No. I will eat. Thank you, Liz. Yes. I will absolutely eat a tomato like an apple.
Thank you, Liz.
So I definitely enjoy that here as well. So anyway, I do want to, the food group kind of thing that you were talking about here, they posted this yesterday, and I thought it was fun to kind of put it up. So we'll do it when Chef Scotty gets here as well.
All right.
So you got to pick one NOLA food per row.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I saw that.
Okay. And
the
first one's A, B, and C. Yep. Po' boy, crawfish boy, muffalata. Well, clearly B is out for you.
Yeah,
and you just ordered a po' boy.
I don't eat muffalata. Okay. So I'll go A.
Uh-huh. Now, the second row is gumbo, jambalaya, etouffee.
Is it chicken andouille sausage gumbo or seafood gumbo?
That looks like seafood, but, I mean, it could be chicken andouille. Let's just go
I'll go chicken andouille.
Yeah. Okay. Gumbo, jambalaya, etouffee.
And I'm eating beignets, baby.
Yeah, I'm with you. So which one is it? You going gumbo?
I'm going gumbo.
Okay, so you're going straight down the first column there.
Yes, sir.
Po' boy, gumbo, beignets.
Yes, sir.
That is one heck of a day for you.
Let's hear yours.
Mine, I went with po' boy as well because you can get anything on the po' boy.
Correct.
You know, catfish, you can do the shrimp, you can do the half and half.
Roast,
I can do the roast beef.
Yeah,
I can do the ham and Swiss. Gotcha. I mean, I can do all kinds of different po' boys. Now, I do love muffalatas, and I do love crawfish. But crawfish is kind of, it has to be seasonal. I have to have the money.
That is true.
And muffalatas, I'm very particular about where to go. You got to have the good olive dressing. And so my point is, I'm going there specifically for a muffalata.
Gotcha.
That makes sense?
Yep, I know.
Whereas a po' boy, I can basically go anywhere
and get a
po' boy.
All 12 months out of the year.
Right, so I go po' boy.
Okay.
I do love gumbo. I love chicken andouille.
Yep.
And jambalaya to me is like a meal.
If you do jambalaya, I got to have jambalaya like with either chicken or sausage.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law can.
Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying? It's like the jambalaya to me is like I'll eat it on the plate. Now, there's some restaurants I've been to where like you get like.
You don't want the rice.
Some fried catfish with some jambalaya on the side.
Right,
can understand as
a
side.
Yep.
And look, I haven't had an etouffee in a while.
I don't eat etouffee.
I'm down on it. Nope. I've never made one at home. Chef Scotty, give me a good recipe. I want to try to do it this weekend.
So you're basically saying you're down the same road with
Me. Now on po' boy gumbo and absolutely
Write this down, folks. This is probably the first time in how many years we've known each other that
will agree on three things.
Right.
Not one thing.
Not one. Not
three
two,
things.
Three things.
Yeah.
So write it down on this day, March the 7th at 12:15.
I would absolutely write it down.
And if I'm still here about 10 years,
I went with the kid's size, which is not kid
size. Kid size.
This is the kid's
pizza.
Personal pizza.
That's,
I want pepperoni and bacon.
That's
that
you
looks
eat
delicious.
That whole thing? You
can, well, I can't eat all of it.
You can't or you can?
I mean, I could.
Folks, this is a beautiful looking pizza
it's
right here.
It's a beautiful
here.
Looking
it's got,
pizza.
Oh, it's a thin crust.
Yep.
Pepperoni
cheese
and bacon.
Cheese goes all the way to the edges.
Scotty, you do a doggone good job.
And I'm going to be honest with you. There is not one pepperoni a slice here.
Oh, no. No, somebody tripped back
there. Is it about
50?
Yeah, would you say 50 pepperonis?
Somebody, and don't this is tell a kid Scott size. That because Scott's got a bite of pepperoni.
I'm sorry. It's only two.
It's only a couple
it's only
of
two.
There.
Yep. Thank you to the kitchen.
Yes. Thank
See,
you
I love
kitchen.
Me some pepperoni.
That is.
That's good. But in front of us, what we got? all kinds of different things. I saw oysters earlier as well get presented up there. Mm. So anyway, come on by, have some lunch. We're going to try to enjoy ours as well here as well. We got a lot to get into. I said no guest. I think Brian, who's likely Mile High out west, will probably comment and chime in from time to time, buddy, based off of what our lead's going to be next segment. I think Kenny Farrell said he may stop in, say hi here as well, and talk some soccer. You know, Coach, he likes to talk soccer, and I think he likes coming in here and eating is the issue. So I think that's what it is. But we got a lot to get into and discuss here as well. A little NBA, college basketball, college baseball. But when we come back, Michael Thomas upset at Jeff Duncan. If you follow the history between the two, probably not surprised by it. I will read you the series of tweets, what it's based off of, as you can imagine. It is the Sports Hangover. We're live at Katie's. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Wow, look who just chimed in, John 4K.
Uh-oh.
Vasilios.
Oh, my Lord.
Vasilios. When can I call? Whenever, man. 800-998-1003. So, yeah, whenever he wants to call in.
Well, he must have got over Baltimore's loss because we didn't hear from him since that game. Unless you have, I haven't.
But
the Ravens got beat, you know. That's the last we heard from him before that.
Do we bring that up?
No, we leave it alone.
Okay. Well, let's have a little fun as we will do today's lead and get you caught up in case you haven't. But my guess is if you're a Saints fan, I'm sure you know what we're about to talk about.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right. So earlier this morning, John 4K and Jeff Duncan tweeted that the Saints were planning on releasing Michael Thomas. That apparently did not go so well, Michael Thomas, as he then proceeded to have a series of tweets. Now, again, Jeff Duncan essentially reported that, you know, that they're planning on releasing. He hasn't been released
right, not yet.
They're planning
on
releasing.
But you don't kind of, Jeff Duncan kind of knows a lot about what's going on.
Well,
I
understand.
I think you agree with me.
Yeah, so, but what I'm saying is the tweet itself is,
right.
You know, it. The Saints are planning on on releasing, okay? So, you know, he has a column that says, the Saints will soon release Michael Thomas. It shouldn't have ended this way. And, you know, in the column, he kind of talks about it all. Well, Michael Thomas then says, Jeff Duncan, funny how they plan on releasing me if I was on a one-year deal. Three laughing emoji faces. Don't fall for it. He the same dude that tried to be my friend in the season after saying I wasn't the same player in training camp. Hashtag next topic. The next tweet is Jeff Duncan is one of those gardening tools that you use.
Well, you know, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, well, it's not a rake, but
yeah,
you kind of use it to,
yes,
you know, to hold the ground.
Right. You pull it toward
you. Yeah, exactly. Right. So Jeff Duncan is that.
That's what he called Jeff Duncan.
Trying to stay relevant, so let's speak on it. The Saints leak information to him to try to ruin players' value. But see, I'm not broke, so I can speak on it. He is broke, so he need clicks. Go look at all his articles that never end up being true. And then he tweets right after that, look at this, and it's a clown emoji face. So I'm assuming he means look at this clown. Y'all think he know ball. Yeah, right. Y'all really clicking links to what he writes. Three more. Laughing emoji faces. Hashtag good luck. And it's a wonderful picture of Jeff Duncan. He's smiling.
It looks like
he's in, the Thomas Picayune offices. There's some TVs behind him.
Yep.
He's got the laptop open. You know, he's got a nice polo. It says NOLA.com, and he's just smiling.
Just enjoying the
at
day.
At least he did use a nice photo of him, you know.
Right.
I mean, could have used one of those photos of, like, what, you know, your mid-sentence, your mouth is open. You know, I like...
You're picking your nose.
Well, you know, I like CNN and Fox will always do that when they're referring to the opponent or the political person they don't like. You know, it's always...
Oh, yeah.
CNN always has a photo of Trump looking angry, pointing, you know.
Oh, Joe Biden's falling asleep.
Yes,
you know.
Fox uses a photo of Biden who looks lost. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know exactly.
You can strategically find a photo to bring to your point. So kudos to Michael Thomas. That's a very nice photo.
The only thing Michael Thomas might need to do is go back to college and understand how to speak when you're talking on here, because some of that stuff is...
Well, I mean, again, he's... Right. And then the last tweet is, look like he take them salt things. I don't know what that means.
Once again...
Salt things.
Yeah, salt. Oh, the salt, you know...
I don't. Salt things.
Salt. S-A-L-T?
Yeah, salt things.
When you...
Well, you can explain that later to me. Anyway.
Okay. I'll explain it to you. I didn't know if I could say it on the air.
Okay, well, anyway, that's
like
what
Peter Pan. Salt.
So, oh.
You got it?
Huh? I don't know what that means.
I don't get it either.
I don't either, but I mean, anyway.
The only way I can think of salt in sports. And
well, now he's trending.
Oh, he is?
On X. That just popped up on my screen.
Wow.
So there you go. Again, he's
there's an ugly divorce coming between them two.
Well, here's the thing. What you take out of that is, obviously, the end is here. I think a lot of people kind of saw that as well.
And was here months ago.
I understand. What I find interesting in all that, and obviously, whatever relationship players have with reporters, I don't know. It's none of my business. It is what it is, and I'm not going to sit here and have a sociology class or psychology class, rather, as to what it works. But I will say this. What's interesting is the fact that he says that the Saints leak information to try to ruin players' value and things of that nature. And that's an interesting part of that because, of course, that does kind of speak to the point that they're, you know, trust with the organization or things of that nature and goes into that. Look, at the end of the day, it is a business.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just the Saints. There are other teams that do. We talk about this all the time.
Yes, sir.
In the next couple of days, in the previous couple of days, in the next couple of days, in the next couple of weeks, mm-hmm. leading to the draft, teams will use their relationship with reporters to present an agenda or to make sure, you know, that a player that they want to draft. I mean, look, it's a give and take business.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that from both standpoints, right? I mean, how you get inside information. I come to your locker room, I befriend you. You tell me, hey, by the way, yeah, last game, you know how so-and-so couldn't get open? Yeah, well, you know, it's not the first time he hadn't shown up, you know, knowing the plays. And I show that, and, you know, later on, and maybe bring it up later in an article or a column that maybe, you know, he's not doing everything, you know. And there's that fine balance on how to report that, how to present that. And a lot of times players and coaches give things to reporters to be able to better understand the dynamics. Like, why does this look so dysfunctional? You know, and things of that nature. And you try to piece together stuff like that. So, look, I don't think – and I saw him get a lot of grief during training camp, Jeff Duncan, about what he talked about, the speed on the Saints defense concerned him. The fact that he said they need some, you know, some better players on that end of the football. He brought up Michael Thomas being the same player. He's not. Now, I understand as a player, you don't like hearing that and, you know, you feel you're being attacked and stuff. But Michael Thomas, you saw him this year.
Right.
He still got doubled. He still got tripled in that Bears game. But he wasn't the player from 2019. And I don't expect that. He hasn't played in 2 years. It takes time to kind of rev that up and get into that. So, that's what I take out of these.
But, you know, you notice he didn't mention nothing about the Saints because...
Well, no, he did. That's what I said. The Saints leak information to Jeff to try to ruin players'
value. He's not going after the Saints. He's going after Jeff.
Right.
All right. And then, you know, remember early in the year when he blamed a quarterback on his team, Carr, for throwing a bad pass, which I don't think it was that bad of a pass, to say that's how he got hurt. Well, he's saying stuff about his player and stuff. And as a reporter, you got to report things like this. You got to, if the team leaked it somehow, some way, he got that information from someone. And I sure know he didn't go to the street corner. He didn't walk into Katie's and we told him that. He got it from the Saints organization. But we all know Michael Thomas is out of here. It's just a matter of when, where, and how. They had to wait to a certain period of time, see if they can get a trade for him or not. But he's going to be gone by next week. I am pretty sure of that. And Jeff Duncan is just kind of like, okay, I'm just kind of spill the guts here because I got the little birdie in my ear, and that's what he's doing. It's his job to report what he hears. In fact, I'm sure he did a little homework on it. He's just not posting it out there with nobody saying anything.
Right.
So But, you know, Michael Thomas got to realize that that's part of football, part of any sports you play in professional. They'll cut you like, you know, like cutting butter. They don't care about you one bit. You're as good as you are at that moment for them. And when it's done and said, they got the right to get rid of you. They don't owe you anything. They paid you enough money, and you haven't produced in 2 years. That's what they're saying. It's time to move on. Move on. You go to Denver. Get some snowy weather. Maybe you go skiing, chill out there with. It could be Minshew Garner as your new head, your new quarterback. That's what I'm hearing. Garner Minshew, I mean, and so we'll see. You know, he's out of here, I believe. So, but I want to hear some more.
Well, no, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's unfortunate. That's all.
Oh, there could be some more coming. I can
see
that coming.
That's all the time I got. Again, so let's talk about what exactly it is that means and why he says that. Catherine Terrell, ESPN's Saints reporter. Thomas's contract was set up in a way that the team would either have to rework it or release him this offseason regardless.
Right.
If he's on the roster the third day of the 2024 league year, which would be Friday of next week.
Friday next week.
Right?
Correct.
$119 million in bonuses would be guaranteed.
See you later, alligator.
The 2024 year does not automatically void. So, again. And look, and here's the other thing, too. It's the same thing that you saw last year when he reworked it. And, you know, and a lot of people were shocked. And I'm like, you know, I think he comes back last year when I said that. So right. All these players understand this. And I forgot who it was. And I'm sorry if you're listening out there. It was either Ross or John Hendricks that we had on. But they brought up in all of these contracts, like, it'll come out. Hey, John Forkey got his deal reworked and all that. It's already, like in Carr's contract and a lot of these newer contracts, the Saints have already put that in the language already. Yeah, the players already know this is not a surprise.
Right.
For most part. I'm not saying that doesn't happen with some players, but for the most part, you don't have a player that is sitting in Cabo, hanging out, and all of a sudden gets a phone call, hey, we need to restructure your deal. Because restructuring, you're still getting your money.
Right.
It's just being given to you differently.
Right. You're still, yeah, right. You're getting it.
Release and restructure, two completely different things. Yes. Release, you get no money. you only get what's owed and what's guaranteed, and that's it.
That's it.
Rework, we're just going to push this to bonuses, or we're going to move this to that way, so that way it can count against the cap a couple of seasons later.
Right, because so people out there listen. No player in his right mind is going to give up. If you sign a certain contract, let's say you sign $100 million, they want to restructure your last $60 million, right? They're not going to come in there and say, okay, we're going to restructure, but you're not getting your money. No, players that restructure know they're going to get their money no matter if they're on the club, not on the club, wherever they're at. They're going to get their money. And then people don't understand. They think, oh, you know, the guy's not getting his money. Yeah, they're getting their money. Trust me, players are not going to just say, oh, no, I'll restructure. Why don't you keep 30 of the $60 million you owe me? That ain't happening.
Yeah, no doubt. So, as John Hendricks and others, you know, have been talking about it, it's not exactly news for it to happen that way. So, look, we can talk about that here as well. But we can also talk about, well, what does that mean for the Saints moving forward? Because the last several years, whether it was him trying to get back on the field, him not being on the field, Michael Thomas has affected the passing game one way, shape, or form, John.
Right.
Him coming back, waiting them come back. Do you draft another play? So the receiving room, let's kind of take a peek at it, look at it like that. Again, phone lines are open. Facilio says he wants to check in, so I gave him the number, buddy, so look for his phone call. We'll have some fun. Let's discuss, and let's move on. It is what it is, but the Michael Thomas era in New Orleans looks like it is indeed over. It's the Sports Hangover live at Katie's on ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. We're live at Katie's over in Mid-City. Absolutely gorgeous day. Shockingly, John Forkey, people are wanting to sit outside. Because it's absolutely beautiful.
I thought we might
outside.
Do that.
Yeah. Well, Chef Scotty has brought that up. Maybe once we expand here a little bit, a little patio out there.
Oh, that would be nice.
That'd be nice.
Have a couple girls behind us with us.
Okay. On that note, Basilio's.
Dropping some grapes and all.
I told you, I finally met my jeweler today. So hopefully I'll be married again, as Anna likes to say. She walked in and literally goes, I'm single. I'm like, what do you mean you're single? It's good seeing Greg Raymond today.
Yeah.
Vasilios, all the way up there in the Northeast. Sir, how are you?
I didn't know if he was locked up for a while or something.
Well, you know, we got to give him some reprieve.
Sitting up, and
Is 4K not too cold in there, in those freezing temperatures?
I was up in Canada and had a great time up there in Quebec and Montreal, and wasn't thinking nothing about the Ravens, but I was enjoying myself and chilly weather, but, you know, 15 below, 10 below. I was okay with it. How are you over there in Baltimore? Did you recover yet? I'm not bringing it up. I just want to know, have you recovered yet from the winter?
Yeah, no, obviously I haven't thought about it since that day, because since that day, for me, it's been all about baseball season. And, you know, up in these parts, the MLB and it's spring training. We got the Cactus League. We got the Grapefruit League going on. We're just about, I want to say, 22 days from opening day for most teams in the MLB. So that's kind of where my focus has been. You know, I've been covering the Nationals, and we got a few of those DC teams up here. So we're all very excited for some spring ball.
Hey, I just made a comment to Gus about seeing a Cubs game. I didn't realize this, that we might be able to go see
the Orioles.
The Orioles or even the Nationals, because
we could.
Up
that's
there,
true. That's true.
Go up there and see a game up there. At least we know you're up there. We can go visit the
basically,
the Capitol.
John wants to know how big is your place.
Yeah, I just need a small couch.
Hey, no, I got plenty of room for the both of you. We'll make it work.
Well, we're not in the same bed or anything like that, you know.
Well, he didn't say that.
Well, you said the both of us.
Plenty of room for both of us.
I just want to make sure that he knows that.
He didn't say he has enough room for us. Yeah.
Gus can sleep with a
I got plenty of room. And shoot, if you guys want to bring Scotty with you, I got room for him too.
Oh, wow. Scotty here. Well, we'll see.
Maybe they play the Cardinals that weekend.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hey, I don't know if you've been paying attention at all today over on social media, and if you still follow a lot of the Saints folks over here, but Michael Thomas took the Twitter. Did you know that?
Dude, I saw his first tweet about Jeff Duncan. Our good friend Jeff Duncan, of course, no less. He said Jeff Duncan's a clown or something. He said let's speak on it. But he turned the comments off on the tweet. And I made sure I quoted that tweet. I said let's speak on it. Turns comments on Twitter off. I don't understand. But Mike's the clown. We all know this, and he's that guy that you know you're gonna from that angle. And we've known this for how many years now, guys? This feels like a conversation we've had almost every time I hopped on the show with you guys over the last 12 months. So, I don't know. I can't say I'm surprised, but the one thing I am surprised about is that how clear as day it is that he's out there actively bashing Jeff Dunn.
Well, I mean, like I said in the opening segment, relationships with reporters and players, it is a give and take, and it's also with organizations here as well. And you understand that in news business, you know, Lee, what he does and others, you try to establish relationships, and sometimes you use info given to you to kind of maybe understand better what's going on and things of that nature. But look, what I take out of all of that, I guess the most interesting part of that is that he says the Saints do that to devalue the value of players when it comes to this. I don't know. Do you think the Saints have done that in the past? Not specifically him, because obviously his value doesn't change being released or not. But what he said in that tweet was that the Saints do that to devalue the value of players.
I mean, I think Mike's done that to himself. I mean, Mike spent over the last 6 months more time on Twitter than he has on the book about me bashing him. That's an actual fact. He's on the wrong side of 30 now. His body is not what it used to be. It's breaking down. When your body starts to break down, it's only natural that your value as a player goes down as well. If you're only able to play between six and 10 games a season, that doesn't really give your team a whole lot of value if you're trying to make a playoff push or, God forbid, a Super Bowl run. I like what Mike has done on the field. I can't deny the body of work that he's put together. But to act like Jeff Duncan or any other media member is the reason that he's gotten devalued over the last few years. Nah, dude, it's just, you're doing it to yourself at this point.
Speaking with Vasilios up there in the D.C. area. He left us, John, for better days, I guess, so here's what it is.
He went back home.
And we missed you, though. We miss you. Here, let me ask you what the other aspect of it, though, from this here as well, Vasilios. When you look at the Saints receiver room, because one way, shape, or form, the last couple of years or now, Michael Thomas has affected the passing game, right? One way, shape, or form. And you saw last year, there was still double-teaming him. The Bears triple-teamed him on a play or two. And then one of the other aspects that you saw when he didn't play or couldn't get on the field, it affects the depth and how good that receiving core was as well. So one way, shape, or form over the last couple of years, he has affected the Saints' passing game. Okay, so he's released. Where are they in your mind going into this season? Are they okay with Olave, Rashid, now the two? A.T. Perry move up? Do they have to go wide receiver at one in the first round at 14? Do they do that in the second? There's no third. There's no fourth that they have right now. So do they, because you have to wait till you're fifth. You might get some compensatory picks. But right now, you know you have a first and a second round pick. Do you go receiver with the first or second round pick?
Now, I don't know about the first overall pick, or the first round pick, but I think they have to fix that offensive line a little first. If there's a nice lineman there in the middle of the round, I think I know that's not what people want to hear, but we saw how many hits Derek Carr took last season, and it might have affected his play in some of those games. So I think protecting Carr should be paramount, no matter how long he's in town, whether he's in town after this year or not. You've got to protect the guy who's under center. As for the receiving core itself, I love Chris Olave. He's got to keep his emotions in check. He is a great three. I don't think he's that number two guy. He's still one of the sharper route runners that I've seen, but I got to see it in a volume from him and not just splashes in certain games. And then A.T. Perry, he might honestly, when I was talking to Sean Fazan before I moved, A.T. Perry might be one of the biggest surprises of that late season push. And he had good adjustments on the ball. He has really good body control. He's able to high point these passes. He's just a very good, sure-handed receiver, and it doesn't hurt that he's, what, like 6'5"? He's pretty quick, too. But I think the void going for another weapon here, because without sure-handedness at the offensive line position, we're just going to see more of Carr being a scattershot because he's going to have pressure in his face constantly.
I'm with you. I think one of those things that I have to absolutely go after is, you know, those linemen. And look, I don't know. Are you a fan of the mock drafts? When you and Sean did the podcast, are y'all fans of mock drafts? I like them. John makes fun of them. I look at it just because it does give me an idea of players in and around the vicinity that on draft day I can follow, right, from this aspect. Because I'll be honest, I don't follow, and I'm not Kuiper, and I don't know those guys. So if you'd ask me without a mock draft who the Saints pick at 14, I have no idea. I don't know who the top five linemen are. I don't know all those different aspects of it. So
yeah.
I do look at mock drafts from that standpoint. Now, there was one today that came out Charles Davis from NFL Network. So I don't know if you've seen this one, but this is the latest one. It came out today from anywhere else, right? And they have the Saints going with Fashanu, the Penn State offensive tackle, the guy that has what? No sacks. In 3 seasons and all that. I don't know about you. If that would have happened, I would be jumping for joy because that is a guy, as John says all the time, Johnny, you could take over here, that you've seen it. It's against good competition. It's not bad teams. And that's proven. Like, that guy has not given up a sack at Penn State. I'm going to take that, right?
Well, my take is, yes. If you go to draft linemen, now once in a while someone will fall through the crack from a smaller school. And I understand that. But when you're playing against top competition, normally those defenses are going to have some stud guys rushing a quarterback, if you got a guy that's playing left tackle, right tackle, anybody on the line, basically, who can pass protect it, don't give up sacks, or who's been in that competition week in and week out. Like, you know, Alabama 1 week, Georgia the next week, LSU the third week, Ole Miss the fourth week, you know, on and on and down the row. You know, Michigan, Michigan State, you know, Penn State. That's the guys you want to go after. Nothing against Penning, he's a developmental guy, but you don't pick those guys number one. Very few fall through the crack that are going to be a number one draft pick from a smaller school, but they got a chance to get the kid from Notre Dame, the big Penn State guy. Yeah, they need a left tackle. I mean, let's be honest with you, that's their weakness on the offensive line right now, a good, solid left tackle. Go with that, move Penny inside, revamp that O-line like Vasilio said. You got to protect your quarterback. If it's Carr this year and next year, great. If it's not, you still got to protect whoever the quarterback is that comes in next season, if it isn't Carr, down the road for your future quarterback. So build and solidify that offensive line before you start worrying about who you receive. Because you can pick up receivers. Let me tell you, I'm a big believer. Receivers are all out there. Running backs are all out there. You know, DBs and guys out there. So many of them, you can go out and get them. But there's only a select few who are on the O-line and D-line.
100% agree. I think same thing with the running back too. That's kind of what I was thinking about. And I feel like that's another position they have to address, because have we seen the best of Alvin Kamara? And now we don't know what's next at that position. I think that's going to be important for the Saints to pick up on too. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the offensive line. You have to fix those two in order to make your passing offense that much better.
Vasilios, man, as always, appreciate you chiming in, sir. Don't be a stranger, man. You always have a phone line, man. Give us a buzz.
Absolutely, man. Miss you guys. Appreciate you. And see you guys for a baseball game soon.
Yeah.
Well, I just looked it up. Yep. The Cubs play the Nationals the weekend of August 30th, 31st, and September 1st. It's a weekend. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You work weekends?
I'm game, baby.
Are you free?
Get it.
I have no idea what he just said.
Southwest flies there, baby. We go in and out of there.
We'll figure it out. I'll text you, buddy.
All right,
as always, appreciate the time. When we come back, open phone lines. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
One comment on the Michael Thomas calling Jeff Duncan a gardening tool. Says, for doing so, waived the waiting period for Saints Hall of Fame. He goes in tonight. 800-998-1003. Sean Fazan, Fox 8, he was on yesterday. Kind of echoing what Nick Underhill, about a half hour ago, tweeted. He effectively signed Michael Thomas a one-year deal last offseason. And he will be a free agent next week. Now, what Sean tweeted as well is essentially that his agent has come out, Andrew Kessler. And I guess maybe this is why Michael Thomas is a little upset, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that follows the team or looks at the contracts understood that he was going, you know, it was a one-year deal.
Okay.
So by, I guess, saying he's being released, in a player's mind, I guess, makes it seem like you're, you know, parting shot out the door or something. I don't know. I all I'm saying is this is what Andrew Kessler, the agent, tweeted or sent Sean Fazan, or he put it out there. It is a one-year deal and always has been. That is 100% how it is structured. And this is no two ways about that. He will be an unrestricted free agent on March 13th like everyone else. So regardless, he's not going to be a Saint moving forward, looking at that. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm throwing up the phone lines here, 800-998-1003. How are you going to remember Michael Thomas? A guy who has NFL records, who before suffering injuries was arguably the best or one of the best receivers the Saints have ever had.
Oh, I'll say that he's in a top category of being one of the best receivers the Saints really have had. To go out and say he's, you know, great and all this, that he did a great job because he had what? Drew Brees and Sean Payton. That's the big difference here. And they threw the ball a lot to him. All short. Look at the – he caught a lot of short balls, and he made things happen after that. That's what he was good for the New Orleans Saints. The, you know, 13, 14 yards at under catch and run in the goal line situation. He had his moments. Great. Like everybody, Father Time caught up with him with the injury bug. When you start getting hurt, if you're a receiver, you can get away with the shoulder. You can get away with a hand. But when you start working from the knees down getting hurt, you can't run. You know you can't make moves here and there and that, and it happens to all of the players that play in the NFL. I remember my rotator cuff and I tore my Tommy John, and that got me out of the game. It's hard to come back from certain injuries. You know, granted, let me say this though, and nobody's saying it was Michael Thomas's fault for what he did when he got hurt. Remember, I know he's trying to blame the Saints for that, but didn't he go off and do things? Wasn't he around at the facility?
He was. It's off season.
Right.
He helped get Derek Carr here.
Right. And then, but I'm talking about when he wasn't here, when he was hurt before then. Remember, he trained somewhere else and got on. This is a couple years ago when he mouthed off in California. He blamed the Saints medical staff here. And
yes.
Look, guys, I've been around. You don't blame the medical staff. When it's injuries,
I'm going to throw this one out. I hear you. But there was a period in time, I mean, there were some players that were misdiagnosed, things of that nature.
Correct.
You know, but they went through a stretch where everybody had a sports hernia. I mean, all I'm going to say is this. If they wasn't, Sean and them and the Pels, they went elsewhere. Like, they cleaned house on medical staff.
Correct.
I understand what you're saying, though.
All I'm saying, you got to take some blame for yourself. But you just can't keep put the blame on like he's doing right now.
Right.
Look, when Wilson was told he was going to be released, you didn't hear him get out there and start saying things. Other guys, you're going to get released. He knew he was getting released before this comments today. Look, they were going to release him. It's been out there weeks ago, months ago. This was Michael Thomas's last year here. And so, look. He just got to regroup, get healthy, and no matter where he goes, I'm sure he's going to help the next team he goes to. Maybe get back to what he was when he's with the Saints, but it's going to be tough because he's up in age and years. But, hey, if he can go somewhere else and give him 2 or 3 years and contribute, good luck to you, Michael Thomas. That's great. You did a fantastic job and you hear the Saints. But it happens to everyone. You got to move on. What's going to happen is shortly when Alvin Kamara gets released, let go, whatever it is. If he wants to play again, go somewhere else. Michael Thomas, when you were here and you were playing at your best, you were one of the best. But it's just injuries have killed you. Injuries have hurt you. And you got to move on.
Josh, what you got for us today, sir? Thank you for calling the Sports Hangover. Hello, Josh.
Thanks for taking my phone call.
Hey, bud. How are you doing?
Doing well. I'm just going to define Michael Thomas's career for you. He was at the right place at the right time for a declining Drew Brees. He came in. He's basically the Odell Beckham of the Eli Manning. He came in. Drew Brees could not throw farther than 15 yards. And where does Michael Thomas thrive? He thrives within 15 yards. He got all these accolades. And, you know, Saints fans were so excited to give this guy $100 million. We've got a GOAT. He's amazing. I'm going to give you some stats, Gus. You ready?
I got you. Go ahead.
$68 million made in 5 years. He had 244 catches. The Saints paid him $279,000 per catch since 2019. He had 13 touchdowns in the last 5 years. Saints paid him $5.3 million per touchdown. Over 5 years, he only had 2,100 yards receiving, $33,000 per yard. That's what we paid Michael Thomas. He's a loser. He's a diva. And I'm telling you right now, he's going to go to the Atlanta Falcons, take a 2-year deal, and try to give it back to us. I hate the guy, and Saints fans were all about the guy. They were so much on to Michael Thomas. If you look at the stats of the Super Bowl, only two wide receivers that were top 10 wide receivers paid per year have ever made the Super Bowl. It was Mike Evans, and then like 10 years ago with another wide receiver. Any team that gives a guy a top 10 wide receiver contract basically says, we don't want to play in the Super Bowl. And that's what the Saints did. Saints fans were all about it. He's a dork. He's a diva. He's a loser. And we need wide receivers. Love you. Love you, Gus. Yeah.
I was going to ask you.
Good. I like that, Josh.
Do you think Denver makes a play for him if you're Sean?
No. I think he's going to go to a place that's going to offer him, because he's a greedy guy. He's not about success. He wants the money. So I could see him go. He's going to go to a lesser team. He's not going to go to a team that has an opportunity to win, because those teams aren't going to give Michael Thomas a deal. A Carolina Panther, the Falcons, I could see maybe like the Browns giving him money. He's going to go to a team that's just going to be relegated to mediocrity, but he's going to get paid money, and he'll just be another problem. That's what he is. That's what he's going to be. He'll never be anything past that. And he literally is, he was in the right place at the right time when it came to Breeze, because Breeze was declining. He was just peppering him with all of these targets, and Saints fans were sold a false bill of goods, honestly. I mean, it was – I laughed at it. I thought it was funny.
I hear you, man.
Josh, I don't think anybody can come on here and say that you're wrong. I mean, after you broke this down, it's the first time I've ever heard of the dollars and cents for catch and touchdowns and yardage and stuff. But
yeah,
if you break it down like that, you're 100% correct. What has he done really without Drew Brees? Nothing. Nothing. And they can sit there and say, well, he didn't have this and that. But you're right. He's a 15 and under yard guy. And when he played for the Saints, when he got those numbers, it's because you kept throwing the ball to him underneath. And he'd catch and go. If you're catching 10, 12 balls a game or 8 balls a game like that, you're going to get close to 50, 60, 70, 100 yards. And that's what that's all he was. He's a possession receiver underneath. That's a better way of saying him. He's not a down the field guy. He's just a throw it to me on a slant. That's all he was, a slant type guy, underneath type guy. And that's what the Saints used him at. And then, you know, when he got all that yardage and got all that money, that's when he went down. I've seen it. I've been with players. I can name some guys right now that I played with. Once they got the big contract, you don't hear from them ever again.
Absolutely. John, I want to tell you this. It's unbelievable to me. If you would have offered these numbers to Saints fans 5 years ago, after his season, they still would have taken the contract. That's what blows me away out of all of it. And also, I just want to say this. Nico Collins, who was a seventh-round draft pick in the last two seasons, has more career stats in the last 5 years of Michael Thomas. They're paying him $600,000 a year, and we paid $65 million. Have a good day, Gus. Also, Mama Sue, I love you. My mom's not doing too well. She's got a little thing going on in the head, and I just want to let her know I love her so much.
Oh, man, Josh, that's awesome. Appreciate you chiming in. And on that note, I might bring up something that, I don't know, maybe I wanted to share with Chef Scotty when he got here as he just arrived. Hour number two of the Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.